The city of Eureka is working to reframe and restart its unauthorized camping ordinance based on the LEAD model, which stands for Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion. On background, in June of last year, in a case called Grants Pass versus Johnson, the United States Supreme Court ruled that local governments can prohibit camping on public property without violating the Eighth Amendment's prohibition on cruel and unusual punishment, even if there are no alternative shelters available. The court ruled, in essence, that the Eighth Amendment prohibits the method of punishment a government may use, but it does not impose limits on the actions a state may criminalize. The court's dissenting opinion was strong in its opposition to this finding. It opens, quote, "Sleep is a biological necessity, not a crime. For some people, sleeping outside is their only option." Meanwhile, in Eureka, the trash and unkempt nature of homeless encampments in the green spaces has the community upset.
"We are currently members of Volunteer Trail Stewards and Packout Green Team. We are discouraged and disheartened by what we see on a daily basis. Our forests, wetlands, and waterfronts are being decimated and polluted by illegal campers. Native trees are denuded for campfires and burned when fires become out of control. Stealing and drug use are rampant, making residents scared to enjoy the outdoors."
The city of Eureka seeks to develop an ordinance that avoids punishing people for poverty but addresses the issues at hand. On January 14th, the council held a special meeting to take input from city staff on how to develop such an ordinance. Police Chief Brian Stevens says there are different responses from the campers they interact with.
"But there are three groups of people that we deal with, and that is the have-nots, and that is our individuals like we talked about that something's happened in their life, right? They lost their job during COVID. They found themselves now to become homeless. Those are the ones that are seeking out whatever resources we can give them. They want off the street. Then we have our cannots, right? Those are our individuals. Those are our community members who are the most vulnerable, who have the mental health issues that are so high they can't function in society. That's where CARE, that's where CSET, that's where we're coming in right now and trying to address those on the street level. They're on the street addressing those issues every single day. And then we have our will-nots. The will-not is the criminal element that is going after the most vulnerable people in our community. Just this last couple weeks ago, we had a major incident happen in front of Freemale, and it had to do with one will-not in that community of can-nots and have-nots down there that almost got somebody killed."
Jacob Rosen supervises Eureka's social services programs.
"This sort of programming really plays to Eureka Police Department's strengths in community policing. CSET is already doing a tremendous amount of work in this direction, and giving them an extra tool, it'll help leverage relationship building because we can work with these folks and provide support at the same time of holding accountability for inappropriate behavior. And essentially the way that it reads is that low-level offenses still have reports taken and charges are still filed, but the city attorney holds or suspends that case until the individuals had an opportunity to work with Uplift or CARE and work on developing a plan in favor of then being able to eventually drop that charge. Once the goals are completed, the paperwork is then forwarded to the city attorney and EPD, closing that case out. If the individual does not participate in the program, the idea would then be once the time elapses that those charges are pushed forward for that accountability component."
Chief Stevens describes the flexibility involved in using such a program rather than citing people under existing laws.
"There are a multitude of laws that are being violated in some of those photos you've seen and a lot of the interactions that we have. A lot of those are misdemeanor, soon to be could be felony under Prop 36. Some of those are fish and game violations that are already felony violations that we can deal with. I think, like Sergeant Omi explained, without a lot of the advocation that could take place because those are going to the district attorney's office, we can make those arrests. We can file those cases. We can send them up. Then it's in the court's hands at that point. It's in the judge's hands at that point and what the DA wants to do with the case. There are people who need to have certain amounts of attention to change behavior. There are people that need to have assistance, and they can't find that assistance on their own, but we can use the system to our advantage to find that assistance for them. When we send it to the DA's office, when it gets in Superior Court, it's a completely different animal. The city attorney doesn't have the same purview over the case and the investigation or in the prosecution of it, and it really takes away what we can do. Then if there is an opportunity for us after someone has been prosecuted, it's like Sergeant Nomi said, we have to really advocate to get charges dropped. We have to do a longer process to try to take advantage of a circumstance that may come up, like they can be rehoused with family members. But if they can't leave the county because they're on probation now because their case got prosecuted, then that's a whole different set of circumstances we have to deal with before we can try to help.
Longtime homeless warrior Nezzy Wade commended Eureka's efforts in social services. However, she says the city has three programs that involve the police.
What about adding other components that increase the possibilities that people are not always interacting with the police? They're interacting with other people, like in our space, or in some of, like, Leslie, you understand from having Synapses, having an opportunity for people to come and not have that interaction. I firmly believe, as Carolyn mentioned, there's not a lot to be gained by increasing the level of crime to be able to work with people. It's going to put them farther away and farther out of the ballpark for a lot of things like housing and other opportunities.
And longtime homeless outreach coordinator John Shelter spoke about the downsides of the ordinance in light of the fact the city doesn't provide legal camping options.
My concern is when we start pushing harder on city properties and stuff, where are these individuals going to end up? Private properties? Business owners' properties?
One woman who has been homeless explained what she had needed and recommended legal camping be developed.
When I was stuck car camping, the only places we were legally permitted to park overnight were very far from any publicly available 24-hour bathroom. This meant driving to Winco or Walmart in the dead of the night, often exhausted and sleep-deprived, sometimes with an officer telling us we needed to move. I'm not surprised at the lack of available space, showers, or restrooms that folks needing to car camp between leases and homes, who are also employed at local businesses, may find it hard making their shift on time or well-groomed. After witnessing this meeting, I'm really impressed with the progress, and I'm happy to see housing and support programs expanded.
An ordinance is currently being drafted by Eureka City staff and will be presented to the City Council in the coming weeks. This is Kelly Lincoln reporting for KMUD.